Welcome to the Awakening Podcast Network. Get ready for an inspiring audio from this cutting-edge voice. You can find more podcasts at awakeningpodcasts.com.
You want to go deeper? Get equipped to overcome and walk in God's purpose for your life at Awakening House of Prayer's online campus. You'll experience an online family, preaching, teaching, and prophetic impartation for victorious living. We have over 1,000 members online, hungry for what God is saying and doing in the earth. Visit ahop.online today and join our family. AHOP TV empowers believers with spirit-inspired messages and strategic equipping that accelerates your spiritual growth. You can subscribe to stream weekly content from Awakening House of Prayer, conferences, and other exclusive content to stir your hunger and encourage your heart. Visit us online at ahop.tv.
Our special guest, Jim Woodford, shared in our previous program about his journey into heaven, that he had literally died, passed on, documented for over 11 hours, and he shares the things that happened to him in that place of glory. So today, we're going to continue on with this interview, because I know that there's probably questions that you have in your heart, questions that other viewers would have, questions that even believers would have. So it's wonderful to have you with us again, Jim, to help us with some of this and to share some of your further experiences in that realm. I love your book, Heaven, An Unexpected Journey, that people can get on the website that's on the screen or through Amazon. It's an amazing testimony of what God has done in your life.
Thank you, and thank you for having me back.
So a lot of times people have questions. We heard about your journey in the last part about how you passed over into this realm. You actually saw a glimpse of some of the horrors of hell, a bit of it that was terrifying to you, but also the rescue that God sent through his angels, through his own light, through himself as a shield, and how you began a journey in that place. And you went in and saw God's place of abode and different hallways and that. So we might want to explore that a little further in detail. So let's share a little bit about those different rooms that you saw.
Well, we were shown many things, but the things that stand, it all stands out. And we couldn't even get them all in the book.
Sure.
Which is why there'll be book two. But the stunning thing was, I mentioned the nursery, the souls of aborted children go. It speaks to the love of God and how he cares for us. But also I was shown the halls of healing. And I asked, well, in heaven, you have no illness, so why would you need healing? And their answer was very profound and made sense. And the guardian said to me, James, many, including yourself, have come to Jesus at the last moment of their life. And so they come with all the scars of their earthly life. And so there is a time of restoration. Wow. In this hall of healing, where they are made to understand why they chose what they chose, why the decisions they made in their life resulted in what happened, why you maybe had to suffer a disease because God wanted you to be an inspiration to others. But that requires a period of healing, and that's what the healing is for. The halls of knowledge deal with the knowledge of God. And you can learn if you're a scholar. If you enjoy study, this is where you can go and learn all you can about the mysteries of God.
When you were in the hallway of knowledge, did you see people in there?
Absolutely. And the interesting thing was, everyone was going about it with a sense of enjoyment, and no one was trudging off to work, clasping books, some of them carrying musical instruments and moving toward the halls of music, which is next door. When I say door, it's relative. Distance doesn't exist in heaven.
Sure.
Because time doesn't. Time is different.
Right.
So you don't have to worry about being from here to there. You just are. And it's a difficult concept. I think Einstein may have understood it, but I certainly have trouble with it, and I experienced it. So these magnificent buildings, and if you can imagine the immensity of heaven, Patricia, we automatically as human beings think, well, if it's that big, it must be hard to get around. No, but it's immense in its size.
Sure.
There is no horizon because you're looking at infinity. You're looking at eternity.
Wow.
And so, but yet everything has a feeling of closeness. If you can imagine being anywhere in heaven and feeling as though you were in your backyard, that's what it felt
like. Wow, so beautiful.
And the other thing was looking down on all these people, and there were millions, all nationalities. You could tell beings cloaked in light, mm-hmm. a robe of light, but they had a face, they had a visage. And there was something that I was looking at, but not quite understanding. And finally it occurred to me, and I turned to the guardian and I said, am I seeing this correctly? Because with the exception of a few that I'm looking at, most people seem to be about in their early 30s. And the angel looked down at me with those beautiful violet eyes and smiled, obviously enjoying the answer he was going to give. And he said, yes, James, you are correct. No one in heaven is any older than Jesus was when he was crucified at the age of 33. Isn't that something?
Oh.
And so the exceptions to the rule, they told me, were the prophets and and the ladies of the Old Testament, God's chosen prophets.
I remember, a number of years ago, saying to the Lord, Lord, I just still feel like I'm in my 30s. And he told me, you'll always feel like you're in your 30s,
yeah.
because he lived to 33 and a half in his
yeah.
earthly life. And he said,
yeah.
that's, and I'm in you. I'm
yeah.
in you.
Yeah.
And you'll, in yeah. your earthly life, you'll always feel like that. So.
And I have a theory. I have a theory that if you accept Jesus, and I know this may be controversial, you're just filled with this light. I mean, I'm 70.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm 30.
Sure.
Because I've never had this much energy, this much purpose, this much drive.
Right.
Because I am here to tell people it is not too late.
Wow. When after the angels took you on the journey, did you see Jesus again?
That's the high point of the whole trip. And I use that term loosely, I realize that. But the experience, I should have said. But as we're walking along, and they show me the holy city, then we come back down. And I realized I hadn't seen the tall angel in a while. So I turned to look for him or her. And I realized there was a slope behind me about 30 feet away. Just a gentle slope, but a slope. And I looked, and for the first time, and I saw the tall angel, but he was bent very low. And for the first time, I realized he had someone else with him. But this figure was tall, even taller than the angel. And what amazed me even more, as beautiful as the angels looked, with their cloaks that appeared as though they had been spun, someone had figured out how to spin cloth from sunlight. But this figure that he was facing was so magnificent, so golden, so beautiful, I was struck. And I turned and started to walk slowly toward this someone I hadn't seen before. You know how you drive down on a hot road here in Phoenix and mm-hmm. and the sun beats up off the pavement,
yeah.
causes that shimmer? He was in profile to me, so that his face was covered with this shimmer, and so I wanted to get closer. But as I walked closer, the angel reached into his robe and brought out this little slim book, Patricia, no bigger than a cheap roadside cafe menu. And he held it for this person to read. This magnificent being to read. And as I'm watching, there was like a light flowed up out of this being facing the angel. And it looked like it was light, but it behaved like slow-moving water. And it seemed like he was a fountain. And this golden light came up and flowed down all sides of him. And then I realized it was flowing down the slope toward me. And when it contacted the flowers that were already in magnificent mm-hmm. bloom, they bloomed even more beautifully.
Wow.
And I watched in fascination as that light flowed down toward me and pooled around my feet. And when it did, suddenly I was filled with this knowledge. And as I looked up, I realized, and the shimmer faded, and I'm looking at the face of none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, someone who I thought was just legend. who didn't exist, who couldn't exist. And I'm looking at him, and now his golden love is pooling around me. And I fall to my knees because I realize the momentous nature of the gift that I have been given, me who deserve nothing. And do you want me to talk about him reading the book of my life?
Oh, I want you to talk about him reading the book.
As the angel took this small, slim book out, as I said, and opened it, Jesus bent forward to read. And instantly, Patricia, I was filled with the most overwhelming feeling of shame and sadness, because I realized that this was the moment Jesus was reading the book of my life. And instead of a book filled with, as thick as a Bible, filled with all the good deeds I could have done with the resources and the money that I had, I had done nothing. I had lived a life of accumulation for pleasure only. And now all I had to show for a life that I thought was well lived was this little thin book. I tell you.
It must have made you feel like it was, like everything that you lived was nothing.
Nothing.
In a sight. Yeah.
But I know this. I live my life every day now to be the best man I can be, to be as kind as I can be, so that when I go back this time and they give Jesus the book of my life to read, he's going to need three angels and a forklift to open it up.
Right on. That's because when you have an encounter in the heavenly realm and when you behold him, it changes your perspective. You don't live for the earthly realm anymore. You don't live for the world anymore. You don't live for the flesh anymore. You live for that eternal life, that eternal God that we serve. And I just want to encourage you, you know, we used to sing a song, you know, as a new believer, we'd sing that the things of the earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And it's like, let those things dim. If the love of the world, the love of money, the love of stuff, if it has a hold on you, the love of reputation, if it has a hold on you, let it go. Because in the light and the glory of Jesus Christ, it's just pale. It's nothing. It's all burned up at the end. And choose to live your life for him.
Yeah.
You'll never be sorry. God plus nothing equals everything that you need. And not only will you live a full life in the earth, but for eternity, you'll have the gift of your life and its fruit to bring before the King. Jim, you finished by telling us that you were in the presence of Jesus and sharing what that felt like. But you saw his face, didn't you?
I did.
Tell us about that.
When that shimmer vanished and he turned toward me, and the angel finished with the book, put it back in his robe and disappeared. But Jesus slowly turned toward me. And then, Patricia, he smiled at me. Jesus Christ smiled at me. He knew me. That was the moment. That was the moment when I was truly born again. When I looked into those eyes of gray and green and blue, I saw sadness for the way I had led my life. I saw sadness for the way mankind has rejected his Father's message. But I also saw incredible love for me. And in that love was forgiveness for the life I had led. And it was that moment I truly understand the meaning of being born again.
Yeah.
That was it for me. And I knew from that moment on that I was irretrievably forever his.
Wow. I remember the night that I got born again. It was like I knew that I didn't deserve love. I didn't deserve to be born again. But he didn't hesitate. He just has no condemnation and no judgment towards us. He longs for everyone to come to him. And you might know someone in your life who is a very vile sinner, maybe, but God loves that person. No matter how hard-hearted they've been, no matter how cruel they've been to others and to God himself, he never gives up. His love is relentless. And when you experience that gaze from the Lord,
it's so
unexplainable, because you know you don't deserve it, and yet he gives it, and all you can do is worship him. And I think that's why in Revelation, in the book of Revelation, it says, return to your first love. And a lot of times people think, oh, I got to return to the way I felt about Jesus when I first, but it's actually our first love is because he first loved us. That is the first love, is to bask in that again, that he loved you when you didn't deserve it. He always will love you when you don't deserve it. And when you see that, it renews that love in you to serve him, because what else can you do? Like, just like your response, you knew that you were completely surrendered. It was when you saw that love. And it's so beautiful. And when we talk about heaven, Jesus is the center of it all. I had an encounter in the heavenlies just a couple weeks ago, and I was taken into the treasury room. Maybe you were there when you were in heaven. It was the first time that I'd ever seen this place. But it was like gold that you could see through every single wall and ceiling and floor. But it was like there was no limit to it, because you could see all the way through. You couldn't see the end and through the gold. I don't know how to explain it, but you couldn't see a wall, right?
Yeah. It's four dimensions, not three.
And then in it was this treasure chest of crimson colored wood, but in it was golden type coins. That's everything emanating light, but all of it paled in comparison to the one who stood behind that chest. Yeah. And it was Jesus himself. And he was just, there's not words to describe his greatness, his glory, his love. He is the treasure. And so as beautiful as heaven is, and he wants us to explore it, he wants us, I mean, he prepared the way for us to go and encounter him and that place. But he takes it all. Yeah. I mean, he is the glory that fills it all. But let's,
So it was at that point, if I may, that he spoke to me.
What did he say?
Jesus spoke to me. He didn't say much, but like the angels, he doesn't have to say a lot.
Right.
But what he says is so profound. But as I tried to get closer to him, suddenly he raised his hand. And it was a definite command to stop, to come no closer up that slope. And my heart just sank. But something else happened. The sleeve of his garment fell down, and there in his wrist,
you saw them.
I saw the wounds of the crucifixion.
Yeah.
And the instant I saw that, Patricia, I was filled with such remorse. I felt as though I had held the hammer and driven the nails.
Yeah.
And I remember
because
crying.
Because you did.
I remember crying. But suddenly, as I looked into his eyes, I realized I was forgiven and that I was his forever. But then I realized he was about to speak to me. And with his hand raised and a command to come no further, this is what Jesus Christ said to me. He said, James, my son, this is not yet your time. Go back and tell your brothers and sisters of the wonders we have shown you.
Wow.
And then his hand slowly came down over his left. And it was at that point, the full enormity of it struck me, that I wasn't being allowed to stay. I had to go back, and I began to beg, to plead, to say everything I could to convince him to let me stay. And I began to cry. I began to plead. I remember Patricia even saying, please let me stay. I won't be any trouble. I mean, I know it's pathetic, but I was desperate. But suddenly the angels picked me up, turned me around, and are moving me down the path. You know, and
we're created for that realm, aren't we? To be with him unhindered. That's what we're created for. And that's why Paul said, you know, it's better for me if I go. Like, I'm happy to go, but it's better for you if I stay.
Well, I told you earlier, I have no fear of death.
No,
I want
me neither.
To die again.
Yeah.
And I'm not crazy.
No. Yeah, it's not a death wish.
I have a loving family. Yeah, I've never been happier. I thought landing jets was fulfilling, but telling people about this encounter is the most fulfilling thing I've ever done. And all I want to try to do is live the best life I can till he allows
me
back.
Come on.
Till he allows me back.
Okay. A lot of people will be curious about this. Like, when you're in heaven, can the beings who have gone on ahead, it says in Hebrews, they're called the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Okay.
Yes.
They've gone ahead, but we're still here. Can they see our activities?
Yes. Yes.
You were shown that in heaven. Can you expound on that a little?
It was one of the questions I asked the guardians, and the question actually led from, will I see my family? But they explained to me there are two veils. There's the veil of death that I went through, that we all go through, and I came back through. There's another veil just before the gates of heaven, and you must go through that. Now look, I think that we all may experience heaven slightly differently, mm-hmm. but there's this overlying sameness to it. Mm-hmm. Sameness is not a good word, but you know what I mean.
Yes, it is a good word.
And so we all experience it differently because of the lives we have led. I don't want people for one instant to think they're going to see the evil that I saw. I think that people that have lived a life devoted to God will go right in. Their family will be right there to meet them. But for me, they wanted to show me the holy city without allowing me in on the ground. And so in talking to them about, you know, well, are they aware of us? They said, not only are they aware, but your loved ones can intercede for you. Mm-hmm. And you will find that these little things that we often hear of, that some people just discount, where a bird that you've never seen will come and look in the window at you, or a flower you've never seen blooms mm-hmm. in front of you. These are all little things that God allows our loved ones to signal to us that they're mm-hmm. still with us.
Well, it says in Hebrews that there's a great cloud of witnesses that surround us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so... I remember when my grandmother passed, I was very close to her, and she actually, passed on her deathbed. She went off into glory, and I missed her so much. But one of the things that I was aware of was this question, like, I bet your grandma's watching, because when you're in heaven, maybe you can see things.
Yeah.
And so I better make sure that anything that I'm doing well, because I wouldn't want my grandmother to see me doing something that I wasn't.
Well, they're really not interested in that. But what they are interested in is they love you. They love you even more
exactly.
in heaven than they love
yeah,
you on
with
earth.
Perfect
and they
love.
Want you to be with them.
Yeah.
So they're constantly hoping that you
yeah.
will do the right thing
yeah.
that will allow you to join them in heaven.
Right. And if they are seeing you in danger, they will be able to
yeah, and
to call
yeah.
you forth out of it.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
I've had some experiences that I can't, you know, that are just astounding. Of proof that a loved one has come through, you know,
right.
and I'm not talking about spirit raising or
right.
anything like that. That's not
exactly.
what I was about. But I do believe that God allows certain perfect love to be manifested from heaven to earth as a
yes.
sign to us, as your dad will.
Yeah, yeah.
Believe me, he will.
Yeah, it's awesome. Now, Jesus said in John 14, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions in one version, dwelling mm-hmm. places in another. Are there mansions for us in heaven?
I get that question a lot, and I've had the benefit of speaking to many scholars. I am not a theologian. I am poorly versed in the Bible, and I apologize for that, but I'm learning as hard as I can. But it was explained to me that mansione, which stands for dwelling place, became known in the King James Version, or the English translation as mansion, which in England meant large house. It's dwelling place. Because think about this. It's a perfect weather. If I had to describe the weather in heaven, there's no overhead sun, so there are no mm-hmm. shadows. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a pilot, I looked for the sun.
Sure.
Am I northwest? Am I southeast? Suddenly the angel says to me, James, in heaven there is no sun, nor moon, nor stars. Well, that's scripture.
Okay.
But what there is a light that emanates from every blade of grass, every
yes.
rock, every tree.
Yes, that's
so
right.
there are no shadows. But guess what? There's no shadow of sin. There's no shadow of disease. There's no shadow of jealousy. No shadow of anger. No shadow of hate. No shadow to impinge on the perfection of God's light.
In that scripture, it says that in my Father's house, and the word house there means place of abode. And that's mm-hmm. what heaven actually means too, yeah. the place of God's abode. And so in his place of abode, there are many dwelling places or spheres or realms. We'll spend all eternity exploring it, because we'll spend all eternity exploring God. I want to give you an invitation to draw close to God right now, because he loves you. And it says, if we draw close to him, he draws close to us. And so just draw close to him. And maybe you're watching this and you don't know Jesus as your savior yet. You've never believed before. You've never accepted him. Maybe you've even been standing against him and telling people bad things about God, but he loves you, and that love will never be withdrawn from you. And God wants you to know him, and you know him through his son, Jesus Christ. So accept Jesus Christ as your savior. You can do it right now by asking him. That's all I did. The night that I got born again, I thought, Jesus, I have nothing to offer you but my mess. But I'd love for you to come into my heart and forgive my sins. He didn't hesitate. He was so happy to forgive me my sins and give me a new life. And he'll be happy to give you new life as well. If you pray that prayer, could you let me know and write info@patriciaking.com and let me know if you prayed that prayer, because I want to send you a gift and I want to make sure that our team here prays for you and that you get everything that you need to be able to grow in his love and grow in his truth. We want to thank you so much for joining us today. And God wants you to remember something all of your days, and it's this, that he loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. We'll see you next time.
This has been a production of the Awakening Podcast Network. Jennifer LeClaire is the founder and owner of APN. Our heart is to inspire people and exalt Jesus with every broadcast. We're grateful for our advertisers and supporters that make these podcasts possible.